When I get older, losing my hair, many years from now, will you still be sending me a valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine? If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is KYMN out of Northfield, Minnesota, 1080 AM for nearly 50 years. And, of course, now 95.1 FM, The One. My guest this morning is a gentleman by the name of Dan Stolz, and he is the president and CEO of Spire Finance up in the Twin Cities with 17 locations. And in addition to that, he is a hardcore volunteer and an amazing man on his accomplishment and contribution to both St. Paul and Minneapolis. And we're talking about what the word palace means to Dan and all the supporters. When he talked to Ecolabs, he said, let me tell you, P is for the people. The people of St. Paul want to have an ice castle because it's something the carnival has done since back in the 1800s, and the Super Bowl is here. A, awesome. The thing is going to be just awesome for all the visitors. L stands for
legend.
Legend.
Yes, all right. Yes.
I was searching.
You were close, Wayne.
Okay,
you were
we close. Got pal. Yep. Then another A comes
yes,
up.
Yes. Okay, before I do that, can I turn the mic on you for a second?
Sure.
Because I've done this now 3 times with you. I absolutely love it. But you always play that song at 10 o'clock, and it's 64. So tell me again what that – I know there's a significance with that song. So give it to me.
Well, funny you should ask. No, I started broadcasting on WTMB in Tomah, Wisconsin, and I joined them in August of 64, and I was drafted in October, but fortunately I didn't pass that test. You know, I haven't passed a lot of tests in my lifetime, and some I have. I wish I hadn't. Oh, come on. Yeah. I started KYMN Radio as a program director in 1968,
okay.
And then I ultimately owned the station, and okay. Then I sold it in, I think, 2002.
Okay.
And they asked me to come up with a show, and I did, okay. And I was 64 years old at the time.
Oh.
So I thought, when I'm 64, look at that. I started 64, and I started this show at age 64.
64 is
just
a special number. I like that. Well, I knew there was a significance with that, and I know you always play it at the break in between, don't you, at 10 o'clock?
It's my 10 o'clock theme, Duane Eddy's Rebel Rouser. You remember that?
I do.
Well, actually, you were just a kid at the time.
No, I remember.
And anyhow, 6'4 is also my height.
Oh, wow, Wayne.
I want people to look up to me.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, never mind. Enough of the corn. Let's get on with the P-A-L.
Okay, P-A-L. So then we've talked about those three. And then the A stands for we were going to have an awesome event in town called the Super Bowl. And that's the reason why we needed to have this ice structure was to literally we were going to have worldwide audience. We were going to have people from all abroad, not only throughout the state, but throughout the United States and throughout the world. And so we said, hey, if there's ever a time, we got to do it in conjunction with the Super Bowl. The C stands for cold, because that's what we Minnesotans are always known about. And, of course, they talked about that all week long in the Super Bowl and how cold it is. But what I love about Minnesotans is we embrace the cold. We have fun with it. Some of us don't actually really like it. But you know what? We say the cold, that was a unique thing about Minnesota. And what a great, iconic thing to have is an ice palace to represent our cold. The E stands for, lastly, is that we then wanted to have an extraordinary structure to kind of promote all the things we just talked about, the legend, the Super Bowl. And so we didn't want this just to be a block of ice with a few stacked on each other. We wanted this to be a spectacular, extraordinary structure. You know, like I said, it had over 5,000 blocks of ice. We had, you know, I can't remember how many hundreds of lights. We needed to build it in 3 weeks. We needed to do it from a lake in Minnesota. And we just created this awesome, spectacular structure. So that was my speech. I used the word palace everywhere I went to talk about this thing and to try to raise funds and get some excitement around it.
Well, I am glad that you explained that to me. When you walked into Ecolabs,
yeah,
and I know you have connections, so you probably knew the person to go to. That's the bottom line. He's got to talk to the right person.
Yeah.
And did you have to sell, or did they say, gee, I'm glad you chose us?
Yeah, you know, honestly speaking, when you're doing those kind of things, you know, Wayne, the I think the secret in, you know, whether you call it sales or just talking about something is you have to talk about it with some passion and then with some confidence. And I will tell you though, I know the CEO, I know the number one and two people at Ecolab, but it wasn't just a slam dunk. And I think that they want to know what it's going to do, how it's going to be activated, how many people are going to attend, how many hits. I mean, they're asking all those right questions. And it took a number of times to literally, they needed to have confidence in the palace. They needed to have confidence in my story that what we said was going to happen, we would deliver. Because if you're going to get money from somebody, I'm passionate about, you have to deliver on that. And so I would say every sale or every opportunity to talk about it wasn't necessarily an easy one. And sometimes it didn't happen after the first ask, the second ask. The answer is you keep asking and you're going to get that yes eventually, right? So, I'm proud to say with Ecolab, they stepped up for that.
I've had the pleasure ultimately ended up as president of the Minnesota Broadcasters Association. But
yes,
what I really enjoyed most about as a vice president of radio, I would arrange sales seminars.
Yes.
And one of the things I always remembered was selling 90% enthusiasm, 10% product.
There you go.
And, you know, that may be kind of like, well, what's wrong with the product? But the product is good because you're enthusiastic about it.
Exactly, Wayne.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, do you mind if I use that one?
You know, no, go 20%, ahead, please.
Because I like that. I mean, passion and enthusiasm, if you walk in there and you're excited about it and you believe in it, people then believe in you, you know? So it's just, it's the way it is in life.
Yep, and make sure your shoes are shined.
Yes, I'm looking at mine now. They're a little dirty, but okay. I'll polish them up.
Well, I have something that my wife showed me last night, and I brought it to work with me today because last Friday I had a young lady who's still in college, but she's an entrepreneur, and she's started up her own, I don't think she has a whole lot of clients yet, marketing through social media and how that goes. And I was talking to her about it because it's over my head. And I know I get, what do they call, pop-ups?
Yep.
And I go, well, what, you know, and then I've been the sucker that, oh, that looks interesting. You hit the button and you get this big commercial. And you have to look for the story about the horse that bit the man or whatever.
Yes, yep.
So I'm going to be reading this, and you tell me if I'm, sounds like I know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Okay. It's surprising to me how many organizations still don't get millennials. Many of them seem to think that appealing to millennials is complicated, like learning a new language or getting a degree in cross-cultural studies. As a millennial myself, the writer, mm-hmm, I can tell you that it's not that complicated. You just have to think a little bit more about the stage of life that millennials are in, ending with a sentence with a preposition. Mm. Or no, maybe that, never mind.
You got
all
me.
Right. All right, where was I? Okay, it says, most of us are in our 20s to mid-30s.
Okay.
We aren't looking for entry-level work anymore, though we often feel like we are playing catch-up in our career due to a slow start after the recession. Many of us have had one or even two major career shifts since college, and we are more likely, on average, to be getting married and having our first kids later in life than our parents did. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly to some, we are generally an ambitious lot, maybe not more than previous generations, but we have had to be adaptable and scrappy in our post-college years. Plan A didn't work? Okay, reinvent yourself and try Plan B. B didn't work either? Let's try Plan C. All while trying to do something meaningful with our lives. For this reason, millennials have a reputation for being the job-hopping generation. Hard to please? Perhaps. But that comes from being ambitious, hungry, and maybe a little idealistic. The good news is that if you are trying to develop the next generation of leadership for your organization, you have an enthusiastic group of employees from which to choose. We want to lead. The bad news, for many organizations at least, is that we also want to grow. In fact, according to Gallup Analytics, millennials rank opportunities to learn and grow in a job above all other considerations. We also know that the majority of millennials have not had opportunities to learn and grow in the past year. So if you're trying to retain millennials by tracking their job satisfaction, you might be looking at the issue exactly backward. For millennials who want to learn and grow, satisfaction can soon lead to boredom and disengagement if they aren't challenged with new opportunities to develop. When this happens, they start looking for a new job, and that nearly always means looking for a new organization. So, what can managers do to hold on to their next generation of leaders? And then it goes on. And what do you think of that? Did you, you have 300 employees, yeah. And I'm sure that probably over 50% are millennials.
Yeah. You know what, Hunter, you're talking about a topic that's near and dear to my heart, so I'll follow your lead on it. But I got to just tell you that I am a student of literally learning about generations and learning about what's important to them. And everything you just talked about with millennials, I really do believe it's a misunderstood market and it's a misunderstood group. And everything you talked about there, Wayne, I'm going to touch on too, but 100%.
Well, we're going to give you something about satisfaction with aspects of a job by generation.
Mm.
Now, we're going to talk general. Are you Generation X?
You know, I think they put me, I'm at the later end of the boomers. I'm in the
baby
boomers.
Yeah,
baby
okay.
boomers, yeah.
Okay, we're going to compare Generation Xers and baby boomers to the millennials. These are tangible rewards wanted by, okay?
Yep.
Vacation time, 61% of you and I, and 52% for millennials. Mm-hmm. Health insurance benefits, 40% for us.
Yep.
I'm going to use us for Generation Xers and baby boomers. 44% for millennials. Retirement plan company offers, 39% for us, 43% for millennials. Amount of money you earn, 32% for us, 34% for them. Demand job requires, the demands for job requires on-the-job stress, 30% us, 28% them. Amount of work required of you, 53% for us, 56% for them. Flexibility of your hours, 65% for us, 59% for the millennials. And opportunity job offers, chance for promotion, 43% for us, 40% for millennials. Relations with co-workers, 74% thinks is important, you and I, and 71% of the millennials. Your boss or immediate supervisor, 60% for us, 62% for them. Recognition you receive at work, 49% for us, 51% for the millennials.
Wow.
So what's your take on this thus far? I got a ton of this information. Folks, you're listening to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, and our topic this hour is how do you figure out millennials? And we're not going to talk about snowflakes, but okay. But this is, you have 300 employees. Do you,
yeah.
would you was I right in over half of them are millennials?
100%, Wayne. You know, I got to tell you, so the millennial studying the different populations and different kind of what's passionate for them is absolutely critical as business leaders. I mean, not only do you need those that group to be a part of your employee group, but also on our customer base. So for banking, for instance, banking is changing dramatically. You and I and the boomers like to have brick and mortar. We like to walk in and talk to somebody. One of the big changes is that in banking, it's this thing. It's this iPhone that becomes their new branch, that they do more of their transactions, whether it's looking up balances, applying for a car loan. You do that right on your phone. You know, so I study this stuff and I love it. And one of the things that I loved about your author there, some of my big things that I see that are that you have to understand is that they are ambitious, but they really are looking for meaning in their work. I would like to say that our generation was really geared towards looking for success and looking for titles and looking for buying a house, doing those kind of things, and the millennials certainly want those, but that's not where they're starting. They're looking for some meaningful work, some work that they can give back, that they can grow. And I love what you said. I mean, they're starting families later. We're seeing many, many millennials where families are starting in the 30s, where, you know, back in the day it was right after college, and that's just a different change. I think one thing that the millennials also, Wayne, that are saddled a little bit with is college debt. And, you know, I one of the things that I feel bad for that generation is that they've got a big debt load coming out of college. And, you know, you got to find something to take care of that debt. And that's really a big challenge for them as well.
And I have another. These are statistics as gathered by that big company. What am I?
Maybe Gallup? Yes, thank you.
Okay, the change in leadership, according to Gallup poll.
Okay.
Right now, in the past, and now we go to the future. In the past, my paycheck. In the future, my purpose.
Yes.
My satisfaction compared to my development. My boss compared to my coach.
Yes.
My annual review, my ongoing conversations, my weaknesses, my strengths.
Yes.
My job, my life.
Yes. You know, Wayne, so it's funny, the thing that I, when I do talk about this, there's two words I use, is that some of our generations, we were driven by just whatever you want to term as success, and I think there's a lot of definitions of success. This generation, what they're looking for is significance. They're looking for significance in their work, and certainly success goes with that, but it's a whole different mindset, and exactly what you're talking about. They're looking for coaches. They're looking for focus on the strengths, and it's really just understanding what's important to the millennials, not only from a consumer side, but also as an employee side, is absolutely critical.
In the U.S., roughly 73 million millennials were born between 1980 and 1996. Like those in every generation before them, millennials strive for a life well lived. They want a good job, ones with 30 plus hours of work a week and regular paychecks and employers. Now that 30 hour plus, you and I look at that like, wait a minute, 40. Mm-hmm. Well, large corporations are cutting down to 30 so that they don't have to do the vacation time. They don't have to do over whatever. Yes. You probably know more about than I do. I'm just reading here.
Yes.
They also want to be engaged in those jobs, emotionally and behaviorally connected to them. In addition to finding a steady, engaging job, millennials want to have high levels of well-being, which means more than being physically fit. Millennials want to be healthy, but they also want a purposeful life, active community and social ties, and financial stability. Now, regarding that financial stability, millennials want to be able to spend money not just on what they need, but on what they want.
Yes. You know, it's funny too, Wayne, one of the biggest changes that the recession did, but it's also millennials brought this out, is that home ownership versus renting now. Right now, we're at one of the all-time lows in U.S. history as far as owning homes. That's because this millennial generation has a lot of debt, number one. And number two, they're looking for simplicity in life. They don't want to necessarily mow the lawns and do those kind of things. They want to pay the rent, have a nice place to live, but they want to leave their money to do other social things and give backs and so forth.
Only 29% of millennials are engaged, meaning they are emotionally and behaviorally connected to their job and company. Now, I loved my job, mm-hmm. and I love my job, mm-hmm. so I'm actively engaged, and I'm involved. Another 16% of millennials are actively disengaged, meaning they are more or less out to do damage to their company. The majority of millennials, 55%, are not engaged, leading all other generations in this category of workers. Not engaging millennial workers is a big miss for organizations. The millennial workforce is predominantly checked out, not putting energy or passion into their jobs. They are indifferent about work and show up just to put in their hours. 55% of them.
Wow. Yeah, you know, it is interesting word is the word engagement. And even at Spire, one of the things that we do, Wayne, to keep that engagement high is we have all of our staff and our millennials all take what we call StrengthFinder tests and literally find out what they do well. And it makes, if you focus on people's strengths and what they love to do, then they're engaged. And so I think it's a challenge of employers not to be complaining about the difference in the workforce with the millennials, but to be challenged to step up and really provide a great culture for them. And then they're engaged, and then they're off the charts, you know?
Exactly what it says in here.
Yep, exactly.
Gallup data revealed that 21% of millennials report changing jobs within the last year, which is more than three times the number of non-millennials who report the same. Gallup estimates that millennial turnover cost the U.S. economy $30.5 billion annually.
Wow.
Now, you have 300 employees.
Yeah.
And one of the worst things is turnover.
Yes.
And especially if you own a restaurant.
Yes, I can imagine.
Yeah. So your HR department, I'm sure, is maybe a good riddance to some, but you want to keep them if you can.
Yes.
And be engaged like you're suggesting.
Yes. No, you're right. I mean, and I think that's the one misnomer too, Wayne, is that some people feel like the millennials hop from one job to the next. You know, back in our day, Wayne, it was kind of a badge of honor if you'd get hired by a certain company and you worked there your whole career. You didn't never moved, right? I mean, that's but in this day and age with change, everything else, millennials, if they're not engaged, they're going to move. And resumes now are having very long lists of jobs that people have done even by the time they hit 30. Where back in our day, maybe person had one or two jobs.
A Gallup study found that 60% of millennials say they are open to a different job opportunity. This is 15 percentage points higher than the percentage of you and I and ours. Performance management requires a constant focus and feedback. The question, does your manager hold regular meetings with you? Those that are engaged, 44%, and then say yes. And 20% say no.
Yeah.
So communication, the old word we've heard forever.
Yes, yes. You know, about that too, though, that's how things have changed in the marketplace too, Wayne. So back in our day, of course, they would do what they called an annual review. So you didn't hear from anybody until your annual review, and then you'd get socked with some good things, some bad things. But this generation, millennials, and I mean, we've adapted to this too, and I would say progressive businesses are, is that you're now having ongoing conversation. You don't wait until 1 year to talk about the good and the bad and the ugly. You talk about it now. And the millennials have kind of helped us form that new way to doing things.
I have to say that, have you ever done something and then you read about this is the way you do it, and you already say, well, that's the way I did it.
Yeah.
Without having to be taught. You know?
Yes, yes.
And I was looking at this information with my wife last night, and I go, Julie, that that's what I did. My turnover in the radio business is generally pretty high.
Yeah.
But I was real fortunate with having people that stayed with me, retired from KYMN.
Yeah.
And yeah, I had the occasional turnover of one guy I hired twice and fired twice. A very talented individual. Yeah. But for the most part, you know, I'm thinking, hey, I was doing that the right way, because we always talked.
Yeah.
And I always had sales meetings.
Yeah.
And I always had staff meetings.
Yeah, yeah. Don't you think, Wayne, I mean, some of this stuff comes back to being, you know, I mean, common sense and keeping it simple. But, you know, the bottom line is just what you've described, and the way I try to lead, too, is treating others as you want to be treated. I mean, it's not much more complex than that. It's like finding out what's their hot buttons, how I would want to be treated. And you treat others like that, encourage them, give them opportunity to grow. And it's amazing. Then you get retention and you get loyalty, you know?
Well, I'm going to throw out something. Few millennials use television, newspapers, or radios as information source. The internet, for the millennials, 71%. You and I, well, me, no. You, 51%. Hmm. Me, 30%. And traditionalists, 14%.
Hmm.
In regards to the internet. Now, for newspaper, you know what the numbers are going to be.
Yeah.
I had a guy in yesterday, Paul Runze, and he owns the, I can't remember the name of these big-time, he's a coin and jewelry guy.
Yeah.
And he's got an operation in Tomega Mall and one in Woodbury.
Oh, okay.
And he gets a fire sale from the Minneapolis Tribune. They'll call him up and say, we got a half page and
you know,
I got to get rid of it. And they throw out a price that's ridiculous, and he buys it.
Yes, yes.
Because I, you know, he's a classmate. We graduated together.
Oh, really?
And I said, well, how much does that cost? I mean, very few people would ask, but
yeah,
I want to know, how much did you have to pay for
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was taken by surprise.
Yeah.
Okay, millennials and newspapers, 3%.
Wow.
Gen Xers, 4%. Baby boomers, 10%. And traditionalists, 17%.
Wow.
There will not be newspapers in maybe 10 years.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but one of the pleasures that I get, with the exception of the editorial page, is to read the morning paper with my cup of coffee.
Yeah.
I enjoy that.
It's funny. I do too, Wayne. I enjoy the cup of coffee. I enjoy the paper. That's just a tradition. But you're 100% right. I mean, all of us are marketing in different ways now, and the paper and the TV are no longer the way to go.
Millennials for television. This is that now you use television.
Yes.
Millennials, 15%.
Mm.
Gen Xers, 31%. Baby boomers, 50%.
Mm.
Traditionalists, 64%.
Wow.
And now your operation, of course, appeals to anybody over 18.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're using television, you may be talking to people that are retired.
No, you're right, Wayne. And honestly, a part of our budget is literally, we call it the shotgun approach. So we literally use some newspaper, some TV, some billboards, but then we also use social media. So the pop-ups you're talking about. So we're out there doing, even my commercials are on the internet. So when people load up something, they're forced to watch the video. We call it not commercial. So, you know, I think businesses have to really be thinking more out of the box on how they advertise. And radio is a big part of our advertising too.
I love radio.
I do too, Wayne.
You know, people say, hey, the best advertising is word of mouth. And I go, well, what do you think radio is?
Yes, exactly.
That's what we're doing. I'm going to give you magazines.
Okay.
They're really in trouble.
Oh.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Use of magazines. Millennials, 0%.
Wow.
Gen Xers, 1%.
Wow.
Baby boomers, 0%. Hmm. Traditionalists, 0% of the Gallup poll.
Yes.
I had a guy in here on Monday, and he sold for farm magazines. It would sell advertising in the magazine.
Yeah.
And, you know, he traveled all over to do that, worked with ad agencies, et cetera, and worked himself basically, worked himself out of a job because it was tough going, but that was a Purpose magazine or, you know, Hog Farmers, et cetera.
Yep.
Now, there's a, I won't even talk about it, least likely to say religion is important to them. Mm-hmm. Do you think the millennials or the traditionalists have more belief?
Wow, that's a great question. I'm gonna go outside the box and say maybe the millennials. Is that true?
No.
No, okay, all right.
Half of millennials say they seldom or never attend a church, synagogue, or a mosque.
Okay, okay.
Time for a break on the Wayne Eddy Affair, and listen to this commercial, will you, for sure, folks? Because I've never heard of this is a cute name for a community celebration. Here we go.
The Denizens Lions Club presents the Flakeout Festival and Winter Parade this Saturday. Lions members will be selling $5 raffle tickets for a chance at a $500 first place cash prize. There will be a barbecue cook-off beginning at 7 a.m. on Main Street, and a euchre tournament with 100% payout begins at 12:30. The Dazzle Parade with lighted floats and tractors starts at 6:30 p.m. For a full list of events, check out the Denison Lions Facebook page and also the KYMN calendar of events. So check out the Flakeout Festival and Winter Parade this Saturday in Denison.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair. I hope you find this interesting. It is KYMN Radio that you're listening to, and only one in four millennials are fully engaged, meaning they are emotionally and psychologically attached to a brand, product, or company. Their engagement trails that of older generations as follows. Fully engaged millennials, 25%. Gen Xers, 28%, Baby Boomers, 33%, and Traditionalists, 38%, and that's pretty much logical.
Yeah. You know, Wayne, that's an interesting topic because you talk about loyalty. I will say one of the biggest challenges for businesses, and I'll put about banking, is back in the day, if someone would open up a checking account, they were like with you for life unless they moved. I mean, they would talk about their check numbers getting larger, and they were loyal. And today's the millennials are not as loyal to the brand. So literally, if they can find a better rate or better service, they won't think twice about hopping and moving from a product. And that's a challenge for us as business owners, is to really try to create a stronger loyalty. But they're not quite as loyal as perhaps the boomers were.
Yeah, and I have to agree with that. For example, in regards to my own personal banking, I was with a bank that financed me mm-hmm. and my partners from the day one. Day mm-hmm. one, and now today, I automatically take out my driver's license when I use a drive-through or go to the teller.
Yeah,
and you know, these people could be my grandchildren, mm-hmm. and the turnover is unbelievable.
Yeah,
and it's a huge banking corporation whose president and CEO, I think, got fined a whole big bunch of money because of the cheating that was going on, mm-hmm. and the must sell, where they sit right. in a boiler room and then put on charges that should not have been put on.
Right,
and yet I don't want to disrupt my flow.
Right.
Of direct deposit and the checks that I
right.
have.
Right.
And people are nice to me, but, yeah. you know, they don't know KYMN radio. They're from Austin, and they got transferred to Northfield or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but there are some that do. So I'll give them credit for that. But I would imagine then in your business, holding on to customers is a major department of your 300 plus employees.
100% Wayne, and exactly as you described. I mean, you know, it's funny, the boomers will hang on, and you still have to treat them with respect, but it all gets down, banking is still about relationship, and it's all about, I always say that, you know, at Spire, we want to move people from stressful banking to successful banking, or take the hassle out of banking. And exactly what you're saying, though, every time we see a customer, our job is to make them feel important, call them by name, ask them about their family. If they don't want to do that, that's fine. But it's back to the old style of banking, and it's not that you're a number or you're a transaction, Wayne. And the you talk about this generation, the millennials, they want that relationship. They're very relational. They want to have that. And that's the secret sauce to really working with the millennials, is to really be relational, not transactional with them.
I got to tell you a couple stories, okay?
Yeah.
We have a deal here in town called the Joseph Lee Haywood Service Award.
Okay.
Joseph Lee Haywood is the guy that was killed by Frank James during the bank raid in 1876.
Oh.
And so we're honoring Joseph Lee Haywood and his bravery in
yes.
protecting the monies, because back then there was no FDIC.
Yes.
And if they would have been successful, there would have been farmers hurt, retailers hurt, there would have been colleges hurt, because the money would be gone.
Gone, yeah.
So that's who we honor, Joseph Lee Haywood. So we give this award, the committee, to one individual annually.
Okay.
And one of the individuals, a fellow by the name of Jim Sawyer, and Jim, a very good friend of mine, owns and operates College City Beverage, a Budweiser dealer.
Okay, yes.
And he's probably in Florida someplace right now, but and he is. But anyhow, he got the award one year, and I was emceeing it. And so you do that, you kind of tease the person that's there and all that. And I said, well, Jim, if you worked at Northwest State Bank. Then it became Norwest Bank. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Well, anyway, I had my account there. I said, let's see how good of a guy you are. What's my checking account number? And he read all nine numbers.
Are you kidding?
Off the top of his head.
Wow.
And, I mean, everybody laughed, and a couple of tables were like, acted like, do it again, and they were going to write it down. But that was customer service.
That's customer service.
And then there's another guy that worked there years ago, and when I bought my 1975 convertible.
Yes, I love that.
I had to finance it, of course. And, of course, I needed money all the time. And I'd go in the bank, and Ken would say, Wayne, you want to put the paper on the convertible? Yep. Okay. How much you need? Her paid that off. Now, 1975 is 40 some years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I see him at bowling. Hey, Wayne, do you need any money on that convertible? Small town.
Yeah, but see, but that's how it worked back then,
yeah.
Right? I mean, you didn't have to fill out tons of paperwork.
Oh,
there'd be a handshake, and they say, Wayne, we know you. You're good for it. Let's do it. Right?
It used to be that way at the bank where I had my business and my personal business and our home loan and all that. And it used to be. It isn't anymore.
No, it isn't.
It all goes into a computer.
Yeah.
And that young lady that's 21 years old, don't know who you are, or does not, it sounds better, know who you are.
Yeah.
When I say who you are, I mean a customer, a person that lives here in Northfield. They just go put in the numbers, and that's that.
Yeah.
If it doesn't score, you do not get money. A vice president of this bank retired, and he used to, I just go in and say, hey, I got to put this in my business account.
Yeah.
Done.
I
called him from some place I was at, and I know, he's down in Indianapolis. Hey, put some money in my checking account. I'm going to buy a Cadillac. And he did.
He did it for you,
and
right?
It was used. my dad's old car. So the point that I'm trying to make is that even him, just as he was about to retire, numbers only. Numbers only.
Yeah.
That's it. He was a business guy. And I'm going, wait a minute, you know?
Yeah.
Walk over to this girl. All she does is punch numbers. Now, I have to say that I think you guys do that too, I would assume.
Yeah, you know, we do some of that. But, I think we, you know, it's just philosophy, because I think some people are just afraid of getting losses and things like that. So we try to balance that with also knowing the person's character. Because if they've got a history, if they've been with us for 20 years or 10 years, you've got a track record. I mean, make the decision. So we try to put a little heart into it. But I will say, Wayne, there's some things now in regulation and treating everybody the same way and all that. There's things that we're regulated on that's frustrating from a business owner that does make us a little more mechanical in some of our transactions.
Well,
you know what I'm saying.
Technical age.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, when I came to Northfield some 50 years ago almost, the banking commissioners would not allow off-site banking.
Mm.
And you're probably not old enough to remember that, because you may not have been in the business at that time.
Right.
but they would not allow a biggie to come in with a branch.
Yes.
And they protected the small banker.
They did.
And they also protected the branches that were connected to a large corporation.
Yeah.
And then there were the state bank and then the national bank. And then the lobbyists. It's kind of funny, MBA, Minnesota Bankers Association,
yeah.
And I was the president of the MBA,
oh.
Minnesota Broadcasters
Association. Yeah.
Anyhow, the bottom line is that they crept in, and
yeah.
they allowed it. And now they're like McDonald's, you know.
Yeah, right across the street, right?
Yeah.
They just let them open up right across the street. Yeah. Yeah.
So the competition has got to be pretty tough.
It is. It is, Wayne. And, I mean, banking's a commodity that everybody needs, and it's getting tougher and tougher. And that's where it's kind of gone away from the relational to more transactional. But it is. I mean, you think you're in a marketplace, and all of a sudden, a year later, someone builds right across the street from you. And they're, you know, it's a tough business. But I think if you do it right and you do it with heart, it can be fun. And that's kind of why I'm in it, is that you can make a difference in people's lives. You can help them fulfill their dreams. You know, the stories you hear of people, first-time home mortgage, walking them through buying that first home or that first car, or helping them save for college. I mean, there's just so many things that you can do if you do it right. You truly can impact and influence other people.
Well, I can remember walking into the Hillcrest State Bank on White Bear Avenue,
yeah.
on the east side, and my uncle came with me, and I bought a 53 Chevrolet that was nosed and decked.
Wow.
And it had a six cylinder, but it had glass packs on it.
Oh, wow.
$300. That was a lot of money. And my uncle had a co-sign with me.
Oh, did he? So you could get that loan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I must have been 19, 20.
Yeah.
And I took that car to the Indy 500.
Oh, wow.
And it broke down. And I was able to call my bank, Hillcrest State Bank, yeah. and they allowed me to write a check to cover the repair work.
Oh, wow.
And now, I could have done that with yeah. my bank now, yeah. but not yeah. now.
Not
I don't
now.
Think.
No.
I could, who would I talk to?
Yeah.
I don't know anybody.
No.
You know what they call their presidents? Store managers.
Store managers, no, yeah.
It's now, crazy. you must have. Branch managers.
We call them branch managers, not store managers, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. And we're talking with a gentleman by the name of Dan Stoles. He is quite an interesting gentleman, and he owns and operates a place called Spire Credit Union.
This Valentine's Day, thrill your special someone with a gift from Russell Stover Chocolates. They specialize in fresh strawberries, hand-dipped in luscious chocolate, and packaged in beautiful red heart boxes. Russell Stover chocolate-covered strawberries are the most romantic Valentine's gift you can give. Russell Stover is located in Owatonna next to Cabela's, just north of Northwest 26th Street and I-35. They'll have extended hours through Valentine's Day, so stop by. She'll be so glad you did.
February is National Children's Dental Health Month. It takes more to maintain good dental health than just brushing teeth at home. Regular dental checkups are vital for your child's total health and well-being. The American Dental Association recommends having your children's teeth evaluated every 6 months. The dentist can check for cavities and place dental sealants to prevent cavities in the pits and grooves of permanent molars. A child's dental development is also monitored for the proper eruption of both baby and permanent adult teeth, as well as the bite relationship between the upper and lower dental arches. Dentist and hygienist can help children and their parents develop a good care routine to promote optimal oral health between visits. This announcement has been sponsored for your child's benefit by these Northfield area dentists, Drs. Aaron Johnson and Christy Johnson from Johnson Dental, Drs. David Buck, David Brust, Bo Stanley, and Michael Thompson of Heritage Dental Care.
Thank you, Jeff. 14 minutes before 11 o'clock on KYMN Radio. Kim, a friend you can count on. Dan Stoltz is my guest. He's the owner, operator, president, and chief executive CEO type guy for Spire Credit Union. And, okay, here's give me the how this happens.
Yeah.
I remember when a credit union was like 3M.
Yeah.
And I remembered you had to be an employee or a union.
Yeah.
And you had to be a union member. And then, all of a sudden, credit unions could start competing with banks. Mm-hmm. And whoever got that through had one heck of a lobbyist group, because I know that the banks and federal savings and loan type people didn't want to have neighborhood credit unions.
Yeah. No, it's an evolution, and it has changed, Wayne, 100%. And I just want to say this. I know you've got great banks here in Northfield, and I'm very strong about it personally and philosophically and within my business, that we as a credit union industry never talk negative about the bankers, because they do some wonderful things. There's just a different philosophy. So banks are owned by either families or investors or shareholders, like the big ones like Wells Fargo and U.S. Bank, where credit unions are owned by its members. So it's kind of like the co-op philosophy. And so it's just one of those opportunities where it's a different style of banking. We're not into bringing profits to our shareholders. We're into really bringing value to our members. I know that sounds more semantics, but it is kind of our philosophy. And you're right, it's changed. Now, Spire, our charter is really pretty broad. We're in the state of Minnesota. We can qualify people as a common bond. So if you live in Minnesota, that's a common bond. So we can get out and compete and be out in the marketplace.
So if somebody from Hudson would come in and apply for a loan, you couldn't service them?
Yeah, technically couldn't. Now we have some reach in Wisconsin, but yeah, let's say Michigan, we could not serve them in Michigan.
Okay.
Yep. So we're restricted in our area. And then we're also have some restrictions like with business loans, because the bankers have that pool. So there's certain areas too where we have to not be as aggressive in. Yeah.
Bank robberies. Of course, we had the big one in 1876 and kicked butt. Then we had one at the what was at that time called the, I think, the Federal Savings and Loan, and now I think it's Summit, I'm not sure. Mm. And then we had the First National Bank was robbed again. Mm. When I said Wisconsin, I remembered. Yeah. And it was in the wintertime, and the guy went in and held up the bank, and the police chief saw the guy get in his car, opened the car door of another car, and said, "Follow that car." And they chased him out of town, caught him, and brought him in. And it turns out the guy had a bumper stickers that said, "Visit Wisconsin." I'll never forget that. And then they found out, when they had to give him a suit for being a jailbird, that he was wearing women's underwear.
Oh, my gosh.
Just little interesting things, you know.
Yeah.
But and Castle Rock State Bank, they have in Castle Rock, right up northwest of here.
Yes.
And then they also have a one in Farmington. They opened about 20 years ago. But they got robbed.
Oh, really?
And I happened to be in the area, so I went up, and Dan Nicolai was the president. And, hey, What's happening here? And I called in and got a live report as the bank robbers were leaving town.
Oh, my gosh.
And the police came there, and then the FBI got there. But I thought, wow, this is pretty good. I'm hot on the trail of a bank robber. So those are a couple. How about what I'm getting to is, do you have a lot of concern and training in regards to bank robbers?
You know, you do. You have a lot of training in that. I will tell you this, Wayne. It seems like the banking, you know, we talk about changes in the marketplace. You know, now branches have so much equipment and so much technology and so much video and so much that literally bank robberies are not as large of a problem. Now, here's where the problem is, though, Wayne. We talked about technology, the fraud out there. And there's a lot of ripoffs that people have to be careful of, stealing credit cards or using doing false credit cards and using it against people's accounts and using ATMs and doing swiping through there where they're getting information. It's really now moved into a technological age where I'll call it the robberies that way, where they're stealing people's identities and they're going that way. And that's the new battle. So you got to try to fight and have systems. Because like I said, this phone system, everybody's using our phones now to do banking. And literally if someone grabs your phone and can hack themselves into it, they can do some damage. So that's where the real risk is nowadays. That's how life has changed. Hey, about this gentleman that you honor, what's his name?
Joseph Lee Haywood.
Yes.
Is the man that died protecting the bank.
Yes, and I remember that name. So he was the one that did pass, though, right?
Yes.
He died.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. I remember that, and I wanted you just to remind me of that, because I've seen the reenactment 3 or 4 times. I remember his name, but I didn't remember what his role was in there.
The Carleton College, where he was a treasurer, and he was a city councilman.
Oh.
He was quite the guy.
Wow.
And Carleton has a history on him.
Yeah.
And each year, the first thing that we do is we have a memorial service at his gravesite.
Okay.
And we offer... Carleton will have a representative there and talk about it and how much money was stolen and what the value would be today and the impact it would have had on the citizens that banked there back in 1876. That's the whole story.
Got it. Well, I want you to know this. This is my shout out to your community. When I was Commodore, the DJ
of the Minneapolis Aquitennial.
Thank you. Yep, Minneapolis Aquitennial with Carolyn Meyer. The Meyer clan, that we did a detour of one of our events here. We went to the museum here, and I got to tell you, that museum is really awesome. I just recommend to all your listening audience, if they're ever in Northfield, that museum is just spectacular. And actually, it's a part of that. Well, the bank is actually a part of the museum, isn't it?
Yeah, that's your real door.
Yes.
And it's a real floor.
Wow.
And everything that's in there is exactly the way it was in 1876. We had hired somebody to do the woodwork at the teller windows, and we got a stove that was like that.
Yes.
So, but I had a guy come to town, and his name is going to fly by me, but I Kennerly, and he had written an album called Jesse James or something like that.
Okay.
Kennerly from England.
Okay.
And they have songs on there all about Jesse and Frank James and the younger brothers, and one of the songs is Northfield Before the Raid, and the other song is Northfield After the Raid, and the Charles Daniels Band.
Yes.
And Emmy Lou Harris.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just a fantastic album.
Wow.
And that was in 1981, I want to say.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
But anyhow, it'd be like a Catholic going into the Sistine Chapel and just going, wow.
Yeah.
When he came and walked in there, and I told him, I said, you're standing where Frank James stood.
Wow.
He was just in awe.
Yeah.
It was like, he was so into it.
Yeah, it is very cool.
Oh, on a little sidebar there about Jesse, and nothing wrong with promoting Defeated Jesse James Days. We meet every single month, and you're required to become a member of the KID committee, all listeners.
Okay.
No, I'm just... If you want to join, we welcome everybody. We'll be right back.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
All right, America. H&R Block has some good news. For a limited time only, you could get a refund advance loan of up to $3,000 the same day you file at Block. That's right. You could get up to $3,000 today. No interest. Told you it was good news. To learn more or find participating locations near you, visit hrblock.com. Get your taxes, one. Optional tax refund related loan from BofI Federal Bank. Not your tax refund. $500, $750, $1,250, or $3,000 loans offered. Approval and loan amount based on expected refund and other conditions. Funds loaded on prepaid card. Tax returns may be e-filed without applying for this loan. Fees for other products or features may apply.
H&R Block, 1300 Bolenbacher Drive in Northfield. Open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday, 9 to 5. Walk-ins are welcome or call 645-6281 for an appointment.
Here we are, live in the color once again, wrapping it up on the Wayne Eddy Affair. My guest this morning is a gentleman by the name of Dan Stoles. He is the Chief Executive Officer and President of a place called Spire Finance. And it has 17 branches. And I know Dan because of his activity in Mardi Gras. That was last night. And his activity with the Minneapolis Aquitennial and the St. Paul St. Paul Winter Carnival. And you went to Johnson High School.
Yes.
About 18 years after I went to Harding High School.
Yes.
You know, and I know, that we were tough competitors.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the east side that you and I grew up on, totally different today.
Yes.
And more of different cultures to yes. these schools. But, you know, we had Wendy Anderson come out of Johnson.
Yes.
And the other successful guy I know from Johnson is you. So how would you, you're successful and you're still a pretty young man. Well, how do you think you made yourself?
No, Wayne, thank you. I mean, that was very, very kind. And by the way, you read that exactly the way I wrote that. So thank you so much. But you know, here's my definition of success. And so if I'm out speaking to people, I always say it's two things. So the first one is, and this is an East Side trait. This is, you get this. It's being a go-getter. So go-getter is one that falls down six times, gets up seven. Someone says can't, you say can. You work hard. You know, you roll up your sleeves. You jump into things that maybe you're not as comfortable with, but you just go get it. And you know, to me, then you're knocking the population down to the top 10%, being a go-getter, getting up early, going to bed later, getting out there, making a difference. That's a go-getter. But to me, that's still not the definition of success. So for me, my passion is about being a net giver in life. That's what I want to be, as a net giver, someone that gives back. So I use the word go-giver. So to me, you can be a go-getter and accumulate all this stuff, but that's not success. Success is about being a go-giver. So that's it in a nutshell, Wayne. I just love being on your air. Thanks for letting me give back, even in your great program, and talking about myself. And you're awesome.
Well, let me tell you something,
yes, sir.
If I may. And of course, I changed. I switched over to the computer. And, oh, I know. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, I am going to make you an offer that you cannot reject. This has never been done on radio or television, or probably even the print media in your lifetime. The Wayne Eddy Affair audience, you listening right now, I want to give you the opportunity to get $25 in cash. How do you do that? Well, you have been invited by my guest. So do you want to explain? Wouldn't it be something if 1,000 people showed up from Northfield? But tell them what it is again, briefly.
Yep. So it's this Saturday, 2 o'clock in Eden Prairie. It's Grace Church. It's going to be like an annual member appreciation, just a customer appreciation event. 1 hour only, 2 to 3 o'clock. Everybody comes. They get $25, but you're going to be inspired, and you're going to see a great group like Circus Juvenis. And we just say, come on out and visit us.
Like the Kids Circus Olay type thing.
Yes.
Okay, folks, this is at Grace Lutheran Church in Eden Prairie.
Yes.
If you get there before 2 o'clock, sit down, be entertained, be informed.
Yeah.
When you walk out, there'll be employees of Spire Credit Union handing you an envelope with $20 bill and $5 bill inside, no questions asked. If you bring a car full, everybody gets $25.
Yes, enjoy it.
I don't think an offer has ever been made like that on radio.
I don't think so. I like it, Wayne. Yeah.
You know, it's a good thing you're not doing it on some of the big boys in the cities.
Yeah.
That would be nuts. I got to thank you. I always enjoy talking to you, and we'll have to get together again, all right?
Let's do it, Wayne. Thank you so much.
All right. Once again, my guest on The Wayne Eddy Affair, Dan Stoltz, President and CEO of Spire Finance with 17 branches. I think that giving away $25 is worth a mention of your business.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. It's 1101.
AM 1080 KYMN, now on FM 95.1, The One. The same great programming, now with better sound.